Hey everyone, I'm Kevin Wallace, pastor of Redemption to the Nations Church. And listen, today I'm going to be bringing a message that I trust will bring life and hope and peace to your heart. We need peace in these troubled times. We can find it in the word of the Lord. I want you to call your friends, your family, let them know that this message is getting ready to be preached. I want them to join in and be blessed by it as well. Now hang on to the end. I'm coming back to pray for you and your need. Can't wait to see you then. May the Lord bless you. Let's jump into the word today. I want you to go to Mark chapter 4. I'm going to continue in this series that I started last week. In fact, I feel like this is going to be several weeks, not just two or three. I think we might be here for a while on the kingdom of God. And I want to talk about today this phrase that I threw out last Sunday and just kind of bounced and moved on. Anybody remember hearing that phrase last week, the crescendo of the kingdom of God? I want to talk about the kingdom crescendo. Everyone say crescendo. You know, there are some words you just say them, it feels good. Crescendo. I want to talk about the crescendo of the kingdom of God and explain from the Bible why I believe that is what we're going to see, and that is what we are going to participate in. And it's not just an idea I have. I believe it's a revelation that the Spirit of God is trying to put in the hearts of the people of God. You and I will never become greater than the revelation of truth that we possess in our hearts. You and I need the spirit of wisdom and revelation to rest on our lives so that we become everything God intends for us to be. That's why I believe it's important where you go to church. And I believe it's important that the preacher where you're going to church teach the whole counsel of God's word and not just what you and I want to hear. We need to hear what God wants us to hear, because faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so today I want to pray today, and just a moment after I read this, I'm going to pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to rest on us so that the truth of God can penetrate the deepest part of our heart. And even if it's hearing something we never heard before, I don't care if I've never heard it. If it's in the Bible and no one taught it to me, I need to thank God that it finally got to me and not resist it because I never heard it before. If it's in the Bible, I didn't say if it's newfangled, you know, and it's created and conjured up. That ain't what I'm talking about. But if it's in the Bible and I never heard it, I don't need to resist it simply because I never heard it. I need to thank God it finally got to me and changed me. Because there's a lot of people sitting in churches that don't know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you. Somebody say amen. Mark chapter 4, kingdom crescendo. Look at somebody and say, the crescendo of the kingdom of God is here. In fact, if you're watching and you're part of the online family, I want somebody to type that in right now. The crescendo of the kingdom of God is here. Let's read from the Bible today. Mark chapter 4, verse 26, when you got it, say word. And he said, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man scattered a seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout, underline it, and grow, underline it. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that, the full grain in the head. So first and then and after that. Do you see that progression? First, then, and then after that, okay? After that, the grain in the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, he immediately puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Then he, Jesus, said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds on the earth, but it grows up and becomes greater. So it starts out smaller. Are you following me? It starts out the smallest seed, but it becomes greater. It becomes greater than all other herbs and shoots out, broke down, barely getting by, meager branches that are beat up on. No, that ain't what it says. It shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. And I want to talk about the crescendo of the kingdom of God today. And I want you to look at somebody near you right now. We're going to test and see if we're sitting by the right neighbor. Say, neighbor, the kingdom of God is not going backward. It is moving forward. Tell the same neighbor, it is not shrinking. Woo, it is expanding. And tell them, I'm so glad. Oh, tell them like you got the Holy Ghost. Say, I'm so glad to be a part of the kingdom of God. Now, if you've got citizenship papers in the kingdom, I need you to praise God. Don't barely do it. If you're going to do it right. If you're glad to be a citizen in the kingdom, somebody give him a good praise. Let's pray. Help me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. That's it. Whoop, there it is. Okay. So last week we established, or at least I attempted in my feeble ability, I attempted to establish this truth that the kingdom of God is not just on the way, the kingdom of God is already here. Jesus said in Luke's gospel, the 16th chapter, that the law and the prophets were preached until John showed up. And when John showed up, we moved beyond the teaching of the law and the prophets, and John proclaimed that the gospel of the kingdom was to be declared and that the kingdom was here. And then he said this, and every man presseth into it. When John the Baptist came, the law, which is the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, we call that the Torah, we call it the Pentateuch, we call it the law. Until John the Baptist, the law and the prophets, and those are the prophetic utterances given to us in the Old Testament, from Isaiah all the way through Malachi and everything in between. So until John the Baptist was born, the summation of the ministry of the word declared on the earth, the summation of what God had been saying can be summed up by saying that it was the law and the prophets. And then John comes and the good news of the kingdom begins to be preached. And people who hear the message of the kingdom, John said, Jesus said of what John was preaching, people who hear the message press into the truth of the kingdom of God. Jesus goes on to say in Luke's gospel, the 17th chapter, the 21st verse, watch this, that he said, be careful when men show up and say the kingdom is over here or the kingdom is over there. Remember I told you that he taught us that the kingdom is not in observation, but the kingdom is already within you. It's already showed up. When Jesus came preaching, he did not say repent for when John came preaching, he didn't say, repent for the kingdom is coming. He said, repent for the kingdom is at hand. When Jesus came preaching, he came preaching the kingdom of God is at hand. And the kingdom of God is already inaugurated. And I gave the illustration of how spring sprung on March 19th according to the calendar. But the weather pattern didn't get the memo that it was spring because we still have some cold mornings. How many know what I'm talking about? Has spring come or not? Well, it has come, but it's still coming. The kingdom, has it come or not? Well, it has come, but it is still coming. Are you following me? And so I'm just rehearsing what I taught last week, that the kingdom of God is here. If the kingdom of God is here and available, I mean, it would agree with me, we need to find out what that means and how to be living in the kingdom. We need to be experiencing kingdom life and demonstrating kingdom life and advancing the cause and the purpose of the kingdom of God. And I dropped this phrase last week, and I know when you say things that perhaps sometimes people never heard, you think, well, maybe he didn't think that through. I've actually been thinking about the crescendo of the kingdom for 10 years. The kingdom grows. It expands, increases, and gets louder. How many ever been to a movie in the mid-2000s? Come on, anybody ever been to a movie theater? Don't lie, you'll go to hell for lying. You will not go to hell for watching a movie, but you could go to hell for lying. Okay, y'all chill out, okay. How many remember going to a movie theater and there was that screen that come up and it had THX and it said digitally mastered, and it was letting you know you're getting ready to watch a movie that has maximum sound effects. And it goes like this. My God, I got a headache. That is a crescendo. It went, and it just got massively loud, right? That's a crescendo. It's a musical element that is intended to create dramatic feeling. It's like it starts out small and bam, it just grows and keeps growing until it blows your eardrums off like some of y'all just experienced. It's wonderful. I feel people needed a healing all of a sudden. This is the crescendo I am speaking of. It is the ever gradually increasing expansion and growing in intensity of the kingdom of God. It doesn't start out mature. Jesus said the kingdom starts out like a seed. Real small, real tiny, but it doesn't stay a seed and it doesn't stay small. The kingdom was planted with the intention of expansion and increase in mind. And I think this is, I'm not trying to be novel or proprietary and you know, be like, you know, we got something nobody else has. But I will tell you this, we don't talk about that much in the church. We don't talk about the kingdom expanding. In fact, a third of the theology most of us were raised to believe has us thinking that the church is going to be in real trouble in the end times. Y'all not going to talk to me. We grew up, remember Y2K? Some of y'all millennials were like, what's he talking about? When we moved into 2000, anybody other than my church was storing food. I mean, we was buying cars that didn't have computer chips. We was, you know, we preparing to ride bicycles and, you know, the end of the world is coming. And everything in, if you're not careful, everything in the church will turn into, we got to hide and hold on. It's not an increase or an expansion that we have in our thinking. It's a, we're barely going to make it. So everybody stick together because ain't no way we're going to make it to heaven. Everybody's going to turn their back on Jesus. How many ever heard that? Come on, talk to me. 2 Thessalonians. There is a reason people reject the message I'm teaching today. And I want you to hear me. I will have people even sitting in this room and watching on TV who will send a message and say, you have not read the whole Bible. It will not end in revival. It will end in apostasy. Okay, let's go ahead and get this out the way because it's on my nerves and I need to just address it. There is a scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that said that the man of lawlessness cannot be revealed until there is first a great falling away. How many ever heard that scripture? We heard that scripture once a sermon every Sunday I was growing up. It was like, y'all better get y'all's act together because you are barely going to make it if you make it at all. In fact, you and your mama and all of them are, y'all probably not going to make it. Y'all probably not going to make it. You are probably going to be one of the ones who don't make it. And that's how we was raised. We felt that way half the time growing up. That's why we got saved every Sunday. Every Wednesday night. Jesus, forgive me. I cannot miss it. I don't want to backslide. Let me tell you something. First of all, there is one scripture that says that. One. And as I was growing in my eschatology and my understanding of end times, B.L. Kelly, who most of you don't know, B.L. Kelly was a bishop and a leader and an overseer, and he was my dearest friend. He's in heaven today and has been there for some time. We would go to Bojangles every Thursday, and we would have coffee and drink. We would drink coffee, and we would have a biscuit, and he would talk to me about eschatology, the end times. And he was the only one I had met at that time who believed this about that passage of Scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, when it says, the man of lawlessness cannot be revealed until first there is a great falling away. He believed that was not apostasy where people are defecting from the faith. He believed it was the rapture of the church. And it's interesting, whether you believe him or not, it's interesting that that word in the Greek for falling away is only used twice, and it literally means to depart. And he literally believed that the man of lawlessness could not be revealed and the end times could not consummate until the church was departing from the earth. He believed that that was an indication of the rapture of the church. Whether you believe that or not is irrelevant. What is important is that you recognize it is but one verse of scripture in a compilation of the Bible, and it is not to be preached and magnified more than the totality of the rest of scripture. Yes, there could be people who defect from the faith and fall away in the end. But family, there are many scriptures that point to a victorious church that enters into heaven with victory and not crossing the finish line, talking about farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. I have nothing wrong with those old songs, but we need to consider the theology of what we're singing. I sing the old songs. I'm coming up. Yeah, glory. On the rough side. The problem is the Bible don't say come up the rough side of the mountain. The Bible said talk to the mountain and tell the mountain to get out of your way. Y'all ain't gonna help me preach. And we sing stuff sometimes, and I'm thankful for them good songs. I sing them songs in my prayer time. But I'm going to tell you right now, we have people who have developed a mentality of barely making it when the kingdom of God is not going to be almost out of business and then have to get rescued by Jesus before they shut the last door of the last church. The devil is a liar. The Bible said a bunch. It says a whole lot. I don't even have time to tell you everything it says, but let me give you a few. Proverbs 4:18 does not say that the path of the just gets darker and darker. It says the path of the just gets brighter and brighter until the perfect day. It does not say in the last days the devil's gonna win and the church is gonna barely make it. It said in the last days I will pour my spirit out upon all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Well, so many of the young people are in trouble. I've never seen the young people so messed up. You better get ready for a great revival. It's coming to a young generation. God is not going to let our sons and daughters be steamrolled by culture. Greater is he that is in them. If you put it in them, trust it. In the end, the Spirit of God is going to work through your children, and the devil is going to wish he never messed with them. Ready for this? It is not going to end with us barely having church. This doesn't sound like a church that's hoping to have some influence. He said, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then the end shall come. The end can't even happen till everybody hears the good news. Well, you know, I don't know if we're gonna have any influence or not. I'm just trying to hold on and make it myself. God's about to break that off our minds. Well, you know, even if it were possible, the elect could be deceived. How many ever heard somebody preach that before? The elect would be deceived, even if it were possible. Number one, it ain't possible. Number two, when he speaks there of the elect, he's not talking about the church. He's talking about the Jews, the 144,000 Jews in the end time. I want to tell you something today. We have believed a narrative that has us thinking we're leaving the earth, barely making it. And the kingdom of God is not going to end borderline bankrupt, borderline defeated, borderline, oh, we hope we're going to. The kingdom of God is growing, increasing, and I want to tell you it's about to become the greatest thing on the face of the planet. I got Bible for it. So, I don't want to ruffle feathers, and I'm not trying to be a contrarian. I'm just trying to tell you some of what we believe is probably not completely accurate. That doesn't mean we shouldn't pay attention to the conditions and the adversity of the day we're living. It doesn't mean people aren't going to walk away and defect from the faith. But can I tell you something? They've been doing that from the beginning. If someone were to turn away and walk away from Jesus, it's become fashionable to go on TikTok and renounce the faith. That's not new. TikTok is new and stupid, but it's new. It's not new for people to walk away from Jesus, but the enemy wants us to think everybody's going to turn from the Lord. Now listen to me carefully. If you want to fall and turn away, you can. But you shouldn't. The Bible said in the book of Jude, he is able to keep you from falling. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the 31st verse, you are not of those who turn back to perdition, but you are those who march on and are saved to the salvation of your soul. What does that mean? When you see people falling away, you don't have to be like, you know what, it's going to happen. I might as well go do it with them. The devil is a liar. If somebody's going to act a fool and give away their inheritance for a pot of stew, let them be ignorant. But the devil is a liar. As for me and Devin and my house, we're going to serve the Lord and walk in the favor of Almighty God. So don't get it in your mind that everybody's going to fall and that this thing is just going to shrink down to a handful of faithful few. This thing is blowing up. The kingdom is growing. Well, do you have some Bible? Because this sounds good, but do you have some Bible? Thank you, sister. Yeah, I got plenty of it. Watch this. He plants a seed and it does not stay a seed. What happens? It grows and I love this. It sprouts up. Anybody in here like, to some extent, like taking care of your yard? Okay, we got some green thumbs. Okay, I spent some time about 2 weeks ago weeding the shrub bed. Boy, I was looking at it. It was looking so good. The mulch was looking good. All the weeds was gone. 3 days later, I came out there and I said, the devil done got in the shrub bush. Weeds. I'm talking about weeds up to my kneecap. Weeds had just started growing, prickly, little, ugly, gourd-looking things. And I said to myself, I just weeded this a couple of days ago. How has this already happened? And it reminded me of something. Weeds don't take much time. They'll spring up real quick. And they'll get real big real fast, but you can get rid of a weed real quick. But now something that you have had to fertilize and grow and tend to and take care of, it takes a little while for it to get off the ground. But when it does, and it really kicks in and starts growing, you can get rid of it, but it takes a whole lot to get rid of it. And what's the point? The kingdom of God is not a quick weed that grows up overnight. It's a seed planted that God said it starts out as the smallest seed in the whole plant kingdom, but it's going to grow and sprout and shoot forth branches. Listen to me. Large branches. Big branches. Branches so strong, birds can build on them. What's the point? The point is, if it's going to be strong and big and hold weight, it's going to have roots. It's going to take some time. There's a lot of people who mock the kingdom of God. And they say, you know, you're not making a difference. Well, I want to tell you right now, don't believe the lie that the kingdom is not growing. Do you know that, oh, here we go. I'm getting ready to say a thing right here. Pentecostalism is the fastest growing branch of religion on the face of the planet. Well, y'all Pentecostals, y'all just so crazy and out there. We're not just crazy and out there. We are the fastest growing group of Christianity on the face of the planet. 35,000 people a day are coming into Pentecost. By 2050, they estimate over 1 billion people walking the planet will be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Well, you know, that little ragtag bunch of tongue talkers on the other side of the river, we might have started out that way, but look around, baby. We're not hanging out on that side of the river any longer because we've crossed over into the possession of promises, and God is just getting started among this group of people. Jesus plants the kingdom in seed form. And the Bible says there are several words that are used, listen to this, sprouting, growing, and then the translation says ripe, but the real word is mature. It starts out as a seed, it develops a sprout, look at this, a blade, and then the head grows on the blade of the plant. And then inside the head that is on the blade, all of a sudden, a full kernel or ear of corn begins to grow. This is a picture of the crescendo I am talking about. It starts as a seed, it becomes a blade, it becomes an ear, a head, and then the full grain or the full ear of the corn in the grain. That's why the prophet said, despise not the day of small beginnings. If you're in this building or watching me online today and you want something given to you in full maturation, you have devalued the process by which God develops great things. Great things like the kingdom of God and great things like everything connected to the kingdom of God, take time and process. 22 years ago, with 34 people in the building, we were just a little seed. Y'all are not seeing this with me. I didn't see all this. Do you know what I saw? Getting connected to the kingdom. If you get connected to the kingdom, then whatever you have that gets connected to the kingdom will enter the process through which the kingdom expands, and it will begin to expand as you connect it to the kingdom of God. Well, that works good for a church. That works good for moms and dads trying to build a kingdom family. That works good for a businessman or woman trying to build a business. Talk to me, church. That works good for anybody who's trying to find a job. If you will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, if you quit asking God to bless what you're doing and start doing what God has promised he would bless, God will open up the windows of heaven over what your hands are on, and it might not look significant now, but it will grow and expand. And here's the real reality of it. Most of us in the room, I think many of you have come into a revelation of the kingdom, and we're starting to really see families that are blessed, businesses that are blessed, people that are blessed, because when you seek first the kingdom of God, which is the rule and reign of Jesus, you cannot stop that thing from expanding, increasing. And listen, that's why Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Watch this. And all these things will be added. Look at your neighbor, elbow them, karate chop them, tell them added. Added. It didn't say enter the kingdom and things will start dying, shriveling up, things will start shrinking, things will start being subtracted. We have preached, listen to me, we have preached a reduced kingdom because we are afraid if we preach it the way the Bible said it, that something won't happen and people will get disappointed. Stop putting a lid of religiosity on the revelation of the kingdom of God. This is not your kingdom that you are called to own jurisdiction of and to preach it like you feel it. There are times I have stood up in this pulpit and taught the kingdom when I didn't feel like teaching the kingdom because my own situation didn't match up with what the word promised me about the kingdom. But the kingdom is greater than my experience, and the truth is greater than my opinion. And some people in this room, they want, maybe not in the room, maybe you're watching online, maybe you are in the room, you want people to reduce the preaching of the kingdom to fit your story. But the reality of it is, if you'll step in the kingdom, God will change your story, and things in your life will start lining up with the blessing of the kingdom of God. I sometimes struggled with this. I'm just being honest with you. I struggled with this. I went through a season in my ministry while I was pastoring this church early on. I went through a time and a season where I thought struggle was the evidence of true faith. I was more able to relate to struggle, adversity, and problems than blessing, increase, and expansion. And I was in my altar, it was my office one day. I was in my office wrestling because we had started to experience a little bit of growth. And this was 17, 18 years ago, maybe 2 years into the pastorate. I'm on my face in my altar, in my office. I keep saying that, it's true. It was an altar. And I was pleading with the Lord. And I felt like God, thank you, Holy Spirit, was pulling something out of me greater than what I had in me. And I felt like God was pouring something in greater than all the prophecies I had received, bigger than all of the things I had imagined. And I was wrestling with it. I was thinking, this is too good to be true. I can't do this. I was raised in a church that had 85 people, and they believed the pastor did everything, and we made him do everything, and we thought that was what we did, but what we were supposed to do. But God began to pour into me a blueprint, and help me to begin to see a strategy that the kingdom was not predicated on one man doing everything and one woman doing everything in the church. It wasn't predicated on even my ability to expect it. God said, I'm trying to pour something in that is bigger than anything you ever thought I could do. It's not for your glory. It is for my glory. It is not to build your kingdom. It is to build my kingdom. And that is where, in my altar, that is where, in my office that Sunday, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he asked me these words: what would you do if lack were not your problem? We say that and people get drawn up. We're talking about money. We're not talking about money. We're talking about the kingdom. If you'll quit talking about money and start understanding resources are for the kingdom and not for, oh God. He said, what would you do if lack is not your problem? Because lack will not be your problem. And I thought, I mean, it changed my life. I walked out that morning. We didn't have 100 people. I walked out and said, lack is not our problem. Did you see the budget? I'm pretty sure lack is our problem. Come on, talk to me, somebody. The annual budget was $75,000. Y'all are like, that's a lot of money. Not for a whole year. A whole year we operated on $75,000. The Lord said, lack is not your problem. That on top of the fact that on my first sermon, the biggest giver got up and walked out of the building. I thought he had to go to lunch. He had a lunch appointment he couldn't miss. I called him that night to check on him. I said, hey, I'm just checking on you, see how you're doing. You doing good? No, we're not doing good. He said these words to me, you are crazy. I said, bro, you heard one sermon. If you think I'm crazy, come back next week. It gets better on week two. He said, you're crazy. We will never be back. I was so dejected. I thought, man, I needed that man. And you know what the Lord was teaching me? You don't need that man or his money. Let me help everybody in this room understand something. I got delivered from feeling like I gotta please people early on in the ministry. I got delivered from feeling like I'm owned. I cannot be bought because the King of Glory has already promised me he would open up the windows of it. He's promised this house that. I just hope you know we will never let the government become our God. We will never let men become our source. It is Yahweh that will provide. I need somebody to shout right there. The kingdom is advancing. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. God was teaching me then. It's in seed form, but it won't stay a seed. It'll expand. Everything connected to your life, God gives you in seed form. If you'll connect it to the kingdom, it will crescendo. Well, I tried something and it didn't work out. I don't believe what you're saying is true. He's just not through yet. Well, my business was a failure. That one was. Thomas Edison didn't get a light bulb on his first try. You just stay with it. When you get something from God, you don't quit when it gets tough. You say, this ain't the end. It's crescendoing. Woo! It's getting louder, like that noise I made Chad play. Some of y'all wish that racket would stop. It got louder and louder till I saw y'all's jawbones going like that. Why? Increase. The kingdom of God planted in a seed form does not stay a seed. And the word uses five different verbs to illustrate what I'm trying to tell you about the kingdom growing. It said it grew, it sprouted, it brought forth, watch this, it got ripe. Do you know what that word ripe means? Mature. Listen, to mature is to grow something. It's to become something. It's to evolve into something. We're not talking about evolving into something weird or something carnal. We're talking about becoming everything God called us to be. How many in this room today would say, I am connected to the kingdom of God? Lift your hand right now. Okay. Every citizen of the kingdom of God needs to understand that the kingdom you are a citizen of is not a diminishing, shrinking, dying kingdom. Anything in the kingdom that is dying is only preparing room for greater. Okay, you ready for this? How many see churches die or shrink? How many have seen that happen? It's painful. This church that you're sitting in, I just found this out. I think this is fascinating. Devin was sharing this with me. Devin just preached in a women's conference this weekend, and a sweet lady came up to her and she said, I'm so-and-so, and I sent some brochures and pamphlets to your husband and to the church several years ago. And she said, listen to this. She said, my father was on staff at Highland Park Baptist Church under the leadership of Dr. Lee Roberson. Now, Lee Roberson was a great man of God. He pastored in this building for years, and he is really the visionary that God worked through to bring about Tennessee Temple University and all these buildings and everything that happened. He was the visionary that God used to birth this. A great man of prayer, great man of God. But they were independent Baptists, and they did not believe in the things of the Spirit. In terms of the gifts of the Spirit, they didn't believe in tongues for sure. I found an old cassette tape in the back and said, why, tongues are of the devil. So we wouldn't have exactly gotten an invitation to preach here back in the day. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, but listen, this woman came up to Devin this past weekend at the conference, and she said to Devin, I want you to know my father was on staff there in the glory days, and he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. And she said he would walk this property praying, Lord, send the Holy Ghost to this campus and raise up a ministry that will let the power of God take this community into the things you have for it. This was 30, 40 years ago. This man is walking on the campus. He is praying for God to send us. Now, touch your neighbor, tell him, we hear. What's the point? The point is it started as a seed, but you can't look at something and say, oh man, that ain't very effective. Look how small that is. That's why you gotta be careful that you don't get around people in your life who think you are where you are right now, and that's all you're ever going to be. You got to be able to surround yourself with people that see the current version of you, but don't put a lid on that version. They don't put a fixture on that version. They say, oh girl, I know you're going through some stuff now and you don't feel great, but greatness is coming because you are connected to the kingdom of God. Kingdom grows. People that God has connected us with and the house with over the years who have invested in the vision of this house. You go listen to their story, it'll blow your mind. Started out living in a little house, in a little shack with had nothing. And then they'd come on a Sunday. I never forget these stories. They blow my mind. This is how the kingdom operates. People who come to our church when they didn't have much and our church didn't have much. We were in a gymnasium with a, I almost said a word I shouldn't say in the pulpit, but it was a brown backdrop. It looked horrible. So I'll leave it. And it was just plain and everything was brown. We were in a gym. The hallway was 4 foot wide. And you had two services. You had 300 people lined up trying to get in with 400 trying to get out. And we were having the time of our life. And it was just starting to grow. And God sent a family and they sat in the seat. And the first year they came, they didn't have resources, but they had a heart because they were connected to the kingdom. They said, Lord, one day we want to bless this young man, his wife, and this church. The first year they came, they couldn't do it. Years later, God took a seed and made it an entire tree. I hope you're catching what I'm laying down. Connect what you got to the kingdom, and what you have will grow for kingdom purposes. Well, I'm just a church member, not anymore. Oh no, I'm coming today. I am like Noxzema. I'm ripping all that off. I'm coming up under the foundation to the dermis, skin. This is the day where somebody's lid, I feel the Holy Ghost on my neck right now. The lid is coming off because the kingdom of God is at hand. I feel like God is about to raise up some millionaires in this church and some millionaires watching online. Y'all can't handle this. If you don't receive it, I'm not talking to you. But if I'm talking to you, if you know God can bless your life for the purpose of the kingdom of God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Branches are coming out of your life. Ready for this? I'm closing. But it's pastor appreciation, so give me another minute. Birds are looking for a branch to land on. Woo! Hallelujah. Eagles that soar are looking for a branch to land on. They don't have to land in a corrupt Hollywood. They don't have to land in a corrupt political system. They don't have to land in a corrupt music industry. Somebody let the kingdom grow so that the birds can land on the kingdom. So if you got a business, get it connected to the kingdom. You got children, get them connected to the kingdom. You got an idea, an invention, get it connected to the kingdom. Jules, help me, I'm through here. I was in Atlanta 2 weeks ago with Jeremiah and Pastor Richie and probably, I don't know, 50 other pastors. And in walks this young man. What was he, Jeremiah? 34 years old. I mean, be bopping around. You know, he's a millennial, curls all up in his hair and cool shoes. He just had that vibe, you know? I was like, what am I looking at here? What's going on? And he opened his mouth and he started talking about technology and the dream God gave him. It started like this. He was actually an executive pastor of a church in California, and a man walked up to him and said, I want to give an offering to the church through Bitcoin. How many ever heard of Bitcoin? Okay, well, Bitcoin is like an investment thing. This person in his church had put some money in and gotten millions of dollars of return on Bitcoin, and he wanted to bless the church. So he said, I just want to give an offering to the church on Bitcoin. They were trying to raise, this is crazy, $30 million in 48 days. Some of y'all are like, whoa, are we trying to do that? If you're feeling it, you know, 30, T-H-I-R-T-Y. Just let the Lord lead you, right? But this man said, I don't have it in cash, I have it in Bitcoin. Can I give to the church? And the young man, the executive pastor, said, no, but we got to come up with a way to be able to. So he developed a software. That software, as a seed, just a thought in the mind of this young 32-year-old executive pastor, now a couple of years later, has become an amazing gift to the body. I am in Angelus Temple. I'm going somewhere, just hear this story. Angelus Temple in Los Angeles, California, a month ago with my wife and the teachers and Autumn and Wamari and the students, and we're there in Angelus Temple, and on the back of the seats is this little circle. It said, if you want to know more about the church, tap here. If you want the pastor's sermon notes, tap here. If you want to give, tap here. And it's just this little circle. It's just a little piece of technology that a dude who hasn't even graduated from college yet just invented. And they connected with this other 32-year-old young man. Listen to this. And we're in this room, and they're talking to us about this technology that can take the church to the next level. And some people hear this, and they're like, we don't want technology that can take the church to the next level. Don't put a lid. Don't put a lid on what God is up to. These young men are full of the Holy Spirit. And before they're in this room talking to church leaders about this technology, they were sitting in front of the executive leadership of the Golden State Warriors and had pitched their technology to the Golden State Warriors, and they're putting it in their arena. And the young man, here's where my point is. The young man looked at me and he said, for the first time in our lifetime, the church isn't catching up. It's actually leading the way. So you ready for this? In a few months, you're going to see circles on the back of the seats. Yeah, you're going to see it. It's the mark of the beast. No, it's not. It's a tool. And we're watching culture take the tools and use them to usher in darkness. And the church just thinks we're just a small, shrinking, dying kingdom. Let me tell you, Jesus is going to always be the center of everything we do. And we will not deviate from Christ's lordship over all of it. But he never gave us the permission to be stuck. And I think sometimes the reason the world gets the ear of the masses is because they're willing to speak in a way that the world can hear. And sometimes all we're doing is trapped in our Christianese, telling everybody what it's wearing me out. So many preachers we just preach to the choir. And sometimes we have to have reinforcement, but can I tell you, the kingdom is not a shrinking kingdom going backwards. It's expanding and moving forward. And if you will keep Jesus at the center of it all and connect what you're doing to the kingdom of God, he'll breathe on it and bless it. It's not a shrinking kingdom. First the blade, then the bud, and then the full ear in the bud. It's Pastor Appreciation. I shouldn't do this. They're going to be so mad at me. I think everybody here knows that we have a pretty busy, chaotic life at times. I have 104 kids. It grows every time, but in my mind, it keeps growing. It's 73 30 minutes ago. Now it's 104. And you know what that means? Sometimes the yard that I love gets way, way, way out of whack. I get a call from my neighbor a couple months ago. Hey, your grass is a little high. Hey, bud, mind your own business. How about that? How about you bring that big diesel mower you got over and let the Lord have his way in your life? True story. And I'm just all over the place. Devin's all over. We got so much going on. And a family in our church, and I'll just tell you who, because I want to tell them on my pastor appreciation how much I appreciate it. Chris and Linda Ball called me. I don't bother people. I'm not entitled to anything. I just mow my grass when I can. They came by and saw it. I got a call. They felt sorry for my grass. Felt sorry for me. And she said to me, "We want to come take care of your yard, Bishop." I said, "I don't want that. Y'all got so much going on. Y'all, they mow 150 yards a day, something crazy, unbelievable. They get their skeeter nets on, you know, out there just having themselves a time." She said, "No, God's blessed us. We want to be a blessing to you and your family." And now, I never would have asked that in a million years. I would have let my neighbor crow and cry and get to it when I can. But they said, "We want to be a blessing." What is that, Pastor Kim? That's a kingdom move. I don't mean I expect that, or you should expect that. If we got a mower and we can get to it, get to it. But when you seek first the kingdom, God will connect you with people of a like mind. And I just think God is wanting to take some people in this room out of a church mode, stand with me, out of a church way of thinking into a kingdom way of thinking. And it may not look like a whole lot right now, but the kingdom is faithful to grow. It will expand. It will not shrink. Watch this. It will crescendo. I want to pray for people this morning. First, I want to pray for people who are not even a part of the kingdom yet. And I want to tell you, when you get born again, you're not just joining a church. We're not just interested in putting your name on a roll of membership. We are interested in seeing you become everything God wanted you to be. We are interested in seeing the life of God demonstrated in your life and the kingdom of God demonstrated in all that your hands are on. And when we talk about getting saved, we're not just talking about getting saved from hell. We are talking about becoming citizens of a kingdom we get to live in. I told you last week, salvation is not just getting you ready to die. It's about teaching you how to live. So today, before I pray for everybody, I want to pray for the special people in this room, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, who would say to me, "Pastor Kevin, I need to get right with God, and I'm not right with God, and I'm not interested if you've ever been to church or never been to church, if you've been born again or you thought you were saved, or if you know right now in your heart you are not right with God, I'm talking to you. I don't care what you've done and how long you've been doing it. It doesn't matter what you're addicted to and how many things you're addicted to. I am asking you the question, if you want to come into the kingdom of God and be born again, then I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that today. Just like you are, you don't have to go home and clean anything up and come back next Sunday and be like, you know, I'm ready. No, today is the day of salvation. You don't clean up and then Jesus save you. He saves you and he'll take care of the cleanup process. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If I'm talking to you and you want to come into the kingdom of God, I'm talking about citizenship in the kingdom. Jesus being the Lord of your life, sins being forgiven, his righteousness being given to you as a free gift. When I say three, lift your hand. One, two, three. Lift your hand right now. I want to be born again. And I'm not going to bet. Yes, Mary. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Wow. Okay, you can put your hands down. Everyone look at me, please. I want you to look at the person on your left and on your right. And I don't know if you've known them your whole life. Maybe you've never met that neighbor before. Just ask them this question. Do you need someone to go to the altar and pray with you? And if you lifted your hand, or you should have, because you want to get right with God, come out of your seat. Come meet me right here. We're going to pray you through, and God's going to save your life today. Thank you for coming. Let's celebrate their coming. Come on. Come on. Come on. Just fill the altar. Come on with it. Come on with it. Come on with it. Come on with it. Come on. Just like you are. We love you. He loves you. The kingdom's been waiting. The Father says, come, and we say, come. Woo! They're coming. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on, they're still coming. They're still coming. Come on. Come on, this is why we do it. The kingdom of God is advancing. The family's getting bigger. Come on, God's not through with you yet. Come on home. There's room. There's time. Come on home. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Now listen, I want you to let them pray in this altar, but I want to pray for every one of you in this room today who would be honest and say, Pastor Kevin, I want the lid to be ripped off our lives, our family, our church life, our business, our children, our marriage. I want that lid to be ripped off so that the kingdom crescendo can happen in me. Come on, I feel like a mind is getting changed and a heart is getting transformed. If I'm talking to you, lift your hand right now. Lift your hand right now. Don't be ashamed. That's all of us. Lord, rip the lid off today. Rip the lid off today. Let the kingdom of God explode, expand. Let it increase. Let it advance. Let it multiply. Let it add to in the name of Jesus. Come on, just lift those hands. Father, I pray right now the kingdom of God would break out in every department of this house. In the music department, the children's department, the youth department, discipleship, the finances, all of it. I'm praying for the kingdom of God to manifest in every life. I pray that honor would hit this house. Blessing and favor would come upon the people. Lift your hands and receive it. Don't let it miss you. Don't let it miss you. God, let the seed get scattered today. Let the blessing hit the house today. Let the kingdom of God advance, the favor of God in the name of Jesus. Reach over, lay your hand on your neighbor's shoulder, please. Father, whatever you're doing, whatever you're doing, whatever you're doing in the kingdom, in this hour, don't do it without me, God. Don't do it without our neighbor. Come on, pray for your neighbor. I'm asking you right now in the name of Jesus, whatever you're doing in the earth, don't do it without us. Don't let us miss it. Put the blessing of the kingdom on everything our hands are to. I pray in the name of the Lord God, that we would raise up a house that seeks first the kingdom of God in everything. Make the men in this house mighty warriors. Make them business leaders and governmental voices. Raise them up to be great. God, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus to touch their lives. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Crescendo, crescendo. Get louder in us, Holy Spirit. I'm going to have you out of here at 12:30. Carter, come here, Carter. Give me a microphone, somebody. Don't leave. You need this 3 minutes, I promise you. Friday night, I had the privilege of, again, speaking to the children. Carter and Tori were leading worship, and he shared something. At first, it struck me, and I thought, man, that sounds crazy. But it was an answer to something. I didn't tell you this, Carter. It was an answer to something I have been talking to God about for years, about the glory of God And we say things like, give him glory. How many ever heard me say that? Somebody give him the glory. How many ever heard that in church? We say, give him the glory. And then there are other times when he sends the glory. And I've wondered, what is the connection between giving the glory and him saying, I'm gonna send my glory? And Carter started talking about an encounter he had with Jesus a few weeks ago in prayer. Quickly, and you know how to do this, I want him to share what he shared on Friday night, and then I'm gonna seal it and we're gonna be done. Carter, I just want you to share, pal, what the Lord showed you in prayer.
So Psalms 8, verse 3, I believe, starts by saying, what is man that you are mindful of them?
Oh, Jesus.
Who is man that you would visit them? And in this vision that the Lord gave me, I found myself at the feet of Jesus continually repeating this verse, and it was a place that I found myself at. Kept on looking upon him saying, who am I, Lord? Who am I? Who am I? And in that very moment, as if a page turned, the verse expanded to Psalms 8 verse 5, where it says, for you have made them a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned them with glory and honor. And I began to find myself in the position of the elders that we see in Revelation 4 and 5, casting my crown at the feet of the Savior, saying, all of the glory, all of the honor. And the Lord took my crown and he picked it up and he formed it into something more lavish, and he placed it upon my head and he said, all of the glory and all of the honor. And then it was just this repeated cycle of the glory giving to him and the glory given back to me.
If you give him glory, he'll crown you with glory, so you can give him back the glory. Are y'all not hearing what I'm saying? If you give him the honor, he'll put the honor back on you, so you can give him back the honor. Somebody give it to him right now. Somebody give him the glory. Somebody give God the honor. I worship you, Jesus. Somebody give him the praise. Somebody give him the glory. Somebody give him the honor. Oh. Woo. I feel the expansion. I feel the increase of the kingdom in the house. Hallelujah.
Lord, seal the word. The kingdom is crescendo. Kohanda bashai. I'm trying, Lord. I'm trying. I feel the Spirit of God witnessing in my spirit today. The kingdom of God is increasing and expanding. And for those who will hear it and receive it, it will increase and expand in them. Let me tell you what I feel like's coming out of this time together in the word, and the word that God is giving. Governmental mountains, financial sector mountains, educational mountains. Dear God, we need an education revival in America. That's why college campuses have been turned into what they're turning into. It's because professors have gotten eat up with Gnosticism and knowledge puffs up. We need some people to train our children again and not indoctrinate them with hate. So here's what I'm feeling, what I'm declaring and decreeing as you leave today. This word preached and released will yield a hundredfold increase. For those who will receive it, it will yield a hundredfold increase of expansion, increase in impact, influence. May the footprint of God enlarge over your life in Jesus' name. And the family said, amen. Shake hands with 319 people. Wednesday night, my friend David Tucker is coming to preach, and you cannot miss it. It's going to be powerful. I love your family. Go in the peace of God.
Well, I trust that the Word of God is working in your heart in this moment. I know the Word works. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Maybe something said today has touched your heart, and maybe you feel like you are so far away from God. How could I ever get right with God? Friend, I want to tell you, there is a way to get right with God. It's through His Son, Jesus. Today, if you'll turn your heart and your life over to Him, I don't care what you've done and how bad it was, how long you've been doing it and how messed up you feel, Jesus is a friend of sinners. He'll come into your life. He'll turn it all the way around and change it. I believe by the Spirit of God, he's doing that right now. Let's pray. Open your heart and say, Dear God, come into my life and forgive me of all my sin. Lord Jesus, I need you to wash me and make me new. I confess that I've been a sinner, and today I want to follow you for the rest of my life. Turn my life over to you, Lord Jesus. Come in and be the king of my heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, friend, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to know today's not the finish line. It's just the beginning. Go to kevinwallace.tv. Just drop us a line on our prayer request area. Let us know that you got saved. You gave your life to Christ. We want to make sure you have a Bible. We want to make sure you get plugged into a good Bible-believing church full of the Spirit of God. Listen, the journey has just begun, and the best days of your life are in front of you. We're praying for you here at Kevin Wallace Ministries. Can't wait to see what God does in your life. We love you all. God bless.